This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It gives us a little bit more about when you're starting with as few dollars as we have. It's a savior, but we still would like to have more money. And then we're a victim of our own success in some ways because, you know, you guys remember when I did become GM, one of my main priorities was to retain as much of our own homegrown talent as possible. And we have a lot of homegrown talent, which is a good problem to have, but it also means that we don't have as much money to go out and go after players that aren't homegrown talent. So any additional money we can get is very helpful. It still doesn't mean that we're going to break the bank in free agency. We're still going to be going after those veteran minimum guys, which, you know, Joyce Koukinas and Mark Acevedo do a great job finding those type of players. We're still going to be trying to find the guys that we can get that we think are good value that maybe come to us and play better than what we expected. And we have a lot of those guys, right? And you know those guys that come in and you're like, man, this guy's really good. I can't believe the Ravens got this guy for $1.5 million. Those guys are critical for us to sustain the success that we've had because the reality is we just can't go out and spend $200 million in any offseason on players like some teams do. We're just not going to be able to do that.
That was Eric DaCosta earlier this week at the NFL Scouting Combine. And if he didn't make it clear enough at the end of season press conference that the Ravens weren't going to be making big money moves this offseason, he spelled it out for you there. And we put out a poll on IA 105.7 The Fan in regards to what you brought up yesterday, Jason, in terms of not cap, but actual dollars spent by the Ravens since 2017. Ravens hide behind a soft salary cap, but the Eagles' 24 payroll was $65 million higher than the Ravens, who ranked 27th. Bisciotti gets sweetheart stadium deals from the state, but since 17, had a top 10 payroll once, ranked 21st or lower four times. Is that sufficient, Ravens flock? Is that really all in? Over 500 votes already. Try harder, Steve, 65.3%. This is just right, 34.7%.
Try harder, Steve, approaching Bone's magic number.
Look, I just think that we owe it to you guys as listeners, as PSL rights holders, as people who have had their seats moved so that they could bring more high rent people in and expand how many premium seats with premium prices they could bring in and displace the common man, and all this happening while they're getting hundreds and hundreds of million dollars in handouts from the government to upgrade their stadium, which is only used about, what, in a good year, 10, 11, 12 times. And to some of those games are fake football that they charge you real football prices for at a time when a lot of people's paycheck isn't going as far. And they want to come out of the gates letting you know, don't ask too much of us. Keep getting excited about the $1 to $2 million value free agents we find. Like, we're going to keep your expectations low, and you keep holding us to a low payroll standard, and we'll keep moving the goalpost and moving the ball and talking about a totally fungible salary cap that there is no limit to how high you go over it. It is a fake cap. It is limited only by the owner's cash budgets and how many contracts he's willing to restructure and how much he's willing to spend. And so the problem here isn't that they don't have enough cap space to go out and franchise whoever they want to franchise or keep whoever they want to keep or pluck in free agency whoever they think could put their team over the top. No, no, no. It's that they refuse to spend even to the league average most years in the last decade. And they've been able to slide on this because everybody's been obsessed about the Orioles ownership situation and what they do and don't do and what was going to happen there. But this guy's only been in the top half of league spending, top half, two times since 2017. Like, and nobody talks about it. And everybody gets caught up in their baloney of, oh, let me keep doing the math here and carry the one. Oh, here's how much cap space they have. You give Lamar Jackson a new contract, you immediately create $20 million in cap space or more. The future years, you create $50 million. He's never going to see that $74 million cap figure. But do you want to hide behind it this year and say, well, we can carry him at 45? If we carry him at 45, it makes us look like we're spending all this money. No, no, the real money he got 2 years ago. That's the only year that they've been in the top 10 in spending since 2017 is the year that Lamar got his upfront money. That's over. That money's been paid. So I have a duty to tell you what the real math says. And the real math says this guy ain't even one of the 10 most committed owners in the league. Most years he's not one of the top 20 most committed owners in terms of spending actual cash on his product. So when they keep coming up a player or two short, you keep remembering that at the start of the offseason, Eric DaCosta wants you to pat him on the back for how many value free agents he signs at a time when Howie Roseman spent $65 million more than him last year, went out and got a $20 million pass rusher in Huff, right? Who wasn't any good, but he tried 2 years after setting a record for sacks because the defense slipped 1 year. And what did the Kansas City Chiefs do yesterday, Bone?
They franchise tagged their guard.
And what did they do? The other guard, Joe Tooney, how did they get him?
They paid him.
And they made him the highest paid interior offensive lineman in the history of the NFL.
Following the
just
Bucks
a few
Super
years
Bowl
ago.
Loss.
They paid him like a tackle, right? When Trent Williams got even more money to stay in San Francisco than to go to Kansas City, they paid Tooney like a tackle. And they're keeping both guys. Do the Ravens ever? Hey, what would the Ravens defense have looked like with Patrick Queen last year? Might have been the difference in getting over the top. But they didn't want to be stuck with him for one more year at a big ticket item. They didn't want to tag him. And they let him walk. And then they had an inside linebacker problem. And guess what? They fired their linebackers coach at the end of the year. Roquan Smith, did he play like a $20 million guy? Or did he play like an $8 million guy? They don't talk about that. But they want you to give them a victory lap for finding $1 million free agents. Just think about that, okay? Because that's the narratives they're selling you. But we can all be smarter than that.
Something that they've at least changed in terms of philosophy over the past couple of years is using voidable years. And remember, that was a
we begged them for years.
It was a taboo word for Eric DaCosta. I remember him kind of really besmirching it in press conferences. If you look at this year, Philadelphia by far and away number one in most cap dollars currently in voidable years, $390.4 million. That is hard to comprehend. Ravens are 11th in the NFL at $50.8 million in voidable years. And that's something that they're going to have to lean into this year. If they're going to even make a Derrick Henry type of move, they're going to have to do that. And they're also going to have to be proactive. And we're going to get into a six-pack in the 3 o'clock hour of things that the Ravens need to change, need to do. And one of them, full disclosure for me, is getting ahead of that Lamar Jackson deal, because that is going to free you up a lot of cap dollars, but you're going to have to spend the cash up front.
Yeah, I mean, look, there are definitely things that we want to continue to try to urge them or drag them or shame them into doing. And voidable years was one that we talked about forever on this show, and they refused to do it. And by refusing to do it, it makes it easier to hide behind the salary cap, because that's one more tactic you could do to make that very malleable, stretchable. That cap is like Stretch Armstrong, and then the old like Mr. Plastic Man dolls. You could stretch those arms infinitely if you really want to go for it over a year or two period. Again, they don't even spend in the top half of the league 2 years in a row, let alone the top 10, let alone the top five. But could they? Of course they could. Steve Bisciotti's not hurting for money. Steve Bisciotti's franchise value has risen exponentially, and it continues to rise in present-day dollars while they keep building add-ons to the stadium for him and the richest 5% of the population, again, while they move your seats.
No Ken Wyman today, but we still have a fun Friday show on Inside Access. Listen to us into your
weekend.
Could be
more fun without GG. I think it's fair to ask.
That's your words.
That might
mine.
Be a poll. Maybe I'll put that poll up. Do you think today's show will be more fun without GG?
Well, it's really going to get fun at 3 o'clock because Jimmy Patsos is coming in studio. We're going to recap that tough loss to Michigan State and also look ahead to Penn State tomorrow. That's been a serious house of horrors for the Terps in recent years. Ariel Epstein is joining us at 4. Mike Bordick, Baltimore Baseball Tonight's going to be back before you know it, but he teamed up with Jerry Coleman on a podcast that he's going to tell us about.
That's a power duo right there.
And Andy Koska covers the O's for the Baltimore Banner. He joins us at 5.
Yeah, we will continue to keep you guys abreast of anything that happens in Sarasota. Obviously, no Gunnar Henderson in the lineup today. Probably no Gunnar Henderson in the lineup through the weekend, I would think. No reason to take any chances there whatsoever. But obviously, some of the youngsters, Sam Basayo, Heston Kerstad, have already had big moments this early in the Grapefruit League season. So we'll keep one eye on that. We'll continue to discuss the Ravens offseason and where we think it should go versus where it probably will go. We do have a big Terps game to preview tomorrow in Happy Valley where good fortune goes to die for Testudo and company. So hopefully they can reverse that trend. We'll talk a little local college hoops with Jimmy Patsos as well. I was at the Towson. William & Mary Towson game last night. Almost 5,000 people there. Absolutely bonkers atmosphere. When that building, the way it's constructed, dug down into the dirt and the way it holds sound, like you get people on that upper deck, it can really be intimidating. I wish the CAA was one of those leagues where the first seed gets to host the tournament. You know, I know it's in DC, it's not that far away, obviously, but it's not a home court environment. I hope there's a lot of Towson kids who jump on the bus and go down there, and I'm sure the university will have buses set up for them. That tournament starts next week, the CAA tournament, but slow starts first half for Towson, and they absolutely ran William & Mary out of the gym in the second half. Two conference losses. They have a chance to go 16-2 in conference if they beat Hampton on Sunday, and be awesome to see them in the tournament. They deserve it. They've had an amazing regular season in a conference that is no joke.
Coming up next, we're going to get into some young Ravens from the past couple of drafts that need to step up because they're not going to have these big-time free agent signings this offseason. Looking at Trenton Simpson, Tavius Robinson, TJ Tampa, Tez Walker. Which of those are we most confident in stepping up in 2025? We'll tell you.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next on The Fan.
Jackson to the end zone. Wide open. Did he get the feed in? Yes, touchdown. Devontae Walker, his first NFL catch is a touchdown.
Yeah, really meaningful, Jeff. For Tez to get that, kind of talked about it all week. It was a play. He had a couple plays in there like that. Take routes like that he'd have a shot at and worked on them all week. But, you know, he's been doing great. He's been He gets downfield fast, and he can track, and he can catch. So to see him make that play was really awesome. Everybody's fired up for him.
That highlight courtesy of CBS, and then you heard John Harbaugh talking about his rookie, Tez Walker, who on his first target got his first catch, which was his first touchdown against the Giants, Jason. And Ravens don't have many wide receivers under contract right now. It is Zay Flowers, Rashad Bateman, and Tez Walker. That's it. That being said, are you expecting him to have more of a role in year two?
You know, Eric really likes these older veteran receivers in the room.
This organization as a whole. It goes back to Ozzie. That's been a thing for them.
That's where I wonder about this young man being blocked a little bit. Like, for years, I was saying, boy, you know, Devin Duvernay is pretty twitched up. He's in his prime. Let's find a way to get him on the field more. And then they'd go give another $6 million to Sammy Watkins, and now he's blocked. Because this owner pays the guy $6 million, he's going to get a chance to play. Like, that, they're not, like, that's a real thing. Like, he's going to, like, Big Al, they'll ride it till the end. They pay you that kind of money.
To be fair, Marcus Williams, they pulled the plug on.
A year too late. I was saying, you want to have that discussion? Because if they would have ate some of the contract, they could have got him out of their locker room last year. Would they eat the contract to do that? Hell no. Here's another one. You think they'll trade Mark Andrews after they pick that $4 million up so they can get more for him? Or will they be cheap and just take what they can get and clear the whole figure? Now, what would Howie do? I think I know. And I don't think it'd be what Steve and EDC do. But I do think that they will find a veteran, and with Zay ascending and Bateman ascending, you know, I think there's an opportunity for this young man. But the guy I think they have to figure out and unlock, because when you're paying an inside linebacker $20 million, I don't think, and he should be in his prime. He's a young guy, although you could cut him next year if you don't feel like paying him this much anymore. And maybe he will be worth it, maybe he won't. But I don't see them investing real draft capital into another linebacker. And they fired their linebackers coach. And their defensive coordinator is a former linebacker and former linebacker coach. And they brought in Pagano to help him. And Pagano's coached the back end his whole career. Secondary, which includes linebackers and coverage. I think they got to unlock Trenton Simpson. Now, maybe less is more. And he might not ever be who they drafted him to be, just like Patrick Queen wasn't who they drafted him to be, but Patrick Queen turned into a pretty damn good peripheral player. I mean, he turned into a really good starter for them.
Second team all
impact player. Now, I'm not saying that Trent Simpson's going to become that. Trent Simpson wasn't taken in the first round. But I think if they can't tap into his athleticism and find a more streamlined role for him that maybe has a little something to do with disruption, if not pass rush, just line of scrimmage or behind the line of scrimmage disruption, then shame on them. Like, you can't punt on them. You can't give up on them. You've got enough other holes that and you don't need to take linebackers that high in the draft anyway, inside linebackers. I think one of their organizational goals should be to find a way to make him a contributing football player.
For sure. And he was someone that flashed in that final game in 2023 where it was meaningless. Ravens had the one seed locked up. They played the Steelers. Trenton Simpson had a lot of splash plays and then went into last year with pretty much given that starting gig next to Roquan Smith. Had a strong training camp, made some splash plays during preseason as well, Jason. But it just looked like the game was going too quick for him when it got to the regular season. When it comes to Trenton Simpson, I am not entering training camp anointing him the starter. He has to earn the starting gig next to Roquan
Smith. I don't even care if he's a starter. There's certain sub packages that you use 40% of the time, 38% of the time.
He's a twitched
that
up
he's
player.
A factor in. I don't need to see 70% snap count every week. Like, they might be in a lot of packages next year. It's just two linebackers on the field. So it's not even really about that, but it's crafting a role for this kid and tapping into him way more than they did last year.
Well, we know that Tez Walker, he didn't really have much of a role as a rookie. TJ Tampa didn't have much of a role as a rookie, in part because he was banged up a lot. He missed a ton of time and just got left behind at that point. But this was one of the players where a lot of the pundits saying, oh my gosh, Ravens got great value with TJ Tampa in the fourth round. At the end of the fourth round, could he be in the mix at corner next year?
I think he could. I also think that they believe, and I would agree with them, that one of the things they do best is evaluate corners. And they've got 11 picks, and it might be 12 or 13 by the time this Andrews situation is resolved or what, you know, maybe there's another move they make too. You can't tell me that they're not going to be sitting there in round four or round five at some particular spot, and there's going to be a corner that they really love who's sticking out, right, like a sore thumb. And they've built a roster that's good enough that if they're not taking best player available, especially once we get out of the first two rounds, then what are we doing here? So that's where I'm not so sure, Bone. You know, like Marlon's not going anywhere.
Obviously, Stevens will be gone.
Stevens will be gone.
Up a spot.
But Wiggins is, I think Wiggins is on the field more next year. You know, if you go and get a real free safety, then you can put Kyle Hamilton back in the slot, right? So he's kind of performing a lot of corner and linebacker duties, not just traditional safety duties. I think he certainly is going to be given an opportunity. But and they also know that when they get injuries there, they happen in droves. So I just, like, there could be a, and they love bringing in we heard the clip opening the show about, boy, they love signing $2 million, $3 million guys and turning them into dudes who play half the time or more. There's going to be some veteran corners out there that they like.
And lastly, this guy, maybe in a different category than the other three, is Tavius Robinson. And this is a player that Bobby D was really high on when we were in Ocean City doing the show with him. And he had a solid, solid year for them. 3.5 sacks, 32 tackles, 4 tackles for loss, 12 quarterback hits. And when we were doing segments about Adafe Owe recently, we mentioned that the couple of games against the Eagles, the final game of their season against the Bills, it was Tavius Robinson on the field a lot more than Adafe Owe.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't think they're going to do an extension with Owe, and I think they're going to be renting Owe for one more year, and I think they've already, you know, they've got dollar signs in their eyes, not for the money that they're going to save with Owe, but the comp pick they're going to get from Owe. So And I don't think they're going to do anything close to what we would want them to do in terms of investing in an edge defender who isn't on this roster. Certainly they'll draft some, but those guys can come with a learning curve. So yeah, I think the arrow is pointed up on Robinson. I think Robinson could have a bigger timeshare in sort of their overall division of labor out on the edge. I think they like his body type. They like the core and trunk strength that he has and how he can help set the edge and hold up in that regard. And I think in the right situations, he's got a little bit of a nose for the quarterback. So, yeah, I also don't think, I mean, I know I said this before, and I'm not the only one. I don't think Kyle Van Noy is getting double-digit sacks again next year. I mean, the odds would say probably not. So, yeah, I think Robinson has an opportunity to contribute more.
At 2:45, we're going to hit the hot corner. We'll recap Grayson Rodriguez's Grapefruit League debut yesterday. And also, we've talked a lot so far during Grapefruit League action. This team needs to run more. Well, one of their players stole a base and then got thrown out at third. We'll tell you who that is at 2:45. But coming up next, bounce back, fall back. No Ken Wyman, but we have Beltway Ben Hall
upgrade in
his place next on the Fan. Like Maryland, Michigan State, it ended in heartbreaking fashion. It was an ugly game, and it was an ugly game of bounce back, fall back.
Oh, really?
Because of it.
Ugly for me or ugly for GG?
Yeah, both. Mm. Michigan State has not allowed 70 points to its opponent during their 3-game win streak. They have not allowed 75 points since January 19th against Illinois. The Terps score 75 points or more. Both you guys bounce back. Jason,
first one to 50 wins.
You said 77-74. Ken, even more confident. He said the Terps hit 80. They hit 55.
Yeah.
Rodney Rice, and you laughed at me for this one. He just 1 versus 4. Rodney Rice led the team in scoring against USC, leads the team in scoring again tomorrow. He did. He had 20. Both you guys fell back. Jason, you had your boy Seldon McGowan.
Well, he led him in a minus 14. he was minus 14.
With 22 points, and you said that he would hit 5 threes.
Well, I had him and Rodney Rice confused.
Michigan State, 8th best in the country at defending threes. Opponents shoot just 29% from beyond the arc. Terps shoot at least their average, season average of 37.5%. They did not. It was 20%. Jason, you did fall back, though. 32%. Ken bounced back. Michigan State plus 9.4 in rebounding differential. Terps hold them to plus 5 or fewer. Did not. It was 12. Both of you guys bounced back. Jason, you said Maryland out rebounds Sparty.
Same on me.
Cowboy Caleb Swanton Roger records multiple assists for a third straight game against Marshall. Hit 5 assists in that game.
He's getting the IA bump in a big way.
He's getting a big IA bump. 5 assists to go along with 4 points, 6 rebounds, 2 blocks, and a steal. Jason, you fell back with 1 assist. Ken bounced back. Lakers cover the 9.5-point spread against the Mavs. They did not.
No, they did not.
8. Both you guys bounced back. Jason,
I said 12.
You said win by 12 or more. Up by 20-something late. Clay stays in. Hits meaningless threes.
Clay turned out to hit some fairly meaningful threes, and Kyrie was out of his mind.
Luka goes over his 31.5-point total. He did not.
Yep.
19 points. Both of you guys fell back. It was a tie at 2. Tie at 2.
Not good. No bueno.
No Ken Wyman. We got Beltway Ben Hall. And I think you won last time. You're so kind. You are so kind.
That's
me. We'll start. You're a giver.
I am. I actually am.
You are. I said you are. Maryland made just 4 threes against Michigan State. They double that and make 8 or more tomorrow, Ben Hall.
A lot of road games. They've started slow, had one at halftime and a couple of them. Penn State's kind of small. I'm going to go under that.
Under.
So fallback.
That's a fallback for those at home.
I've watched a little bit of Penn State lately. They don't do a whole lot for me defensively. And I think the Terps are going to be able to toy with them a little bit inside, outside. You can't keep Selt Miguel down, but only so long. So he's coming back with a vengeance.
Yes.
Put Selt down for 4.
Oh, Selt.
Put Rodney Rice down for 4.
Jeez.
Put Jacoby Gillespie down for 3.
3.
Gillespie. Put Jordan Geronimo down for 1.
Come on.
And DHS gets off the schneid. I'm not sure he's made one in 3 months. DHS gets 1.
Let me just run this by you again. Selden with 4.
Yes.
Rice with 4.
Yes.
Gillespie 3.
Yes.
Geronimo and DHS with 1.
Yes.
That is a massive bounce back. What is it? 8, 11. That's 13 threes. Wow.
Lucky number 13.
Making it rain. Julian Reese, Derek Queen. They did not have good performances the other night.
No, sir.
They bounce back and they combine for 32 or more points. Jason.
They were on a trajectory there up until they met Sparty, who we know don't turn the ball over, clean up on the glass, only allow you 66. Well, before that Terps game, it was 66.7 points per game allowed in conference. And they can take away your main thing defensively. That's not Penn State, and that's not what had been happening to the Terps for the last 3 weeks prior to that Sparty game. So I believe these guys get back on the track they were on, which is they're combining for 30 or more points and they're combining for 20 or more rebounds. And Bone, I'm going to say they combined for 35 points.
That's a bounce back.
And 22 rebounds.
Okay, Ben?
Bounce back for sure. Willard, one of the big things I took away from his postgame presser was they didn't get the ball inside enough. I think both of these guys have a double-double here, so I will bounce back.
And we'll get to the scoring as a whole. Terps held to a season low, 55 points against Michigan State. They hit their season average of 83 points or more. Ben?
Bounce back. Penn State allows a ton of points, home, away. They're not very good defensively. I think the Terps score 85 in this one.
Oh, 85.
Yeah, I think this gets back to its overways. I think Ace Bailey's going to be chucking balls up from all over the place, and he'll hit quite a few. I believe this is like a 91-77 kind of deal.
Okay, all right. Cowboy, Caleb Swanton, Roger.
The show really doesn't start till we get to the Cowboy.
That's true.
I feel like now we're in our groove.
They're going, Old Dominion's going up against Coastal Carolina tonight.
Big one.
They played them earlier in the year. Cowboy didn't have a point. Didn't have a point. He scores at least 5 tonight at Coastal. Jason.
Believe it or not, I did work on this game, and I listened to a podcast about this game, and I think Coastal's going to have some issues down low. And Cowboy knows himself, and he's
Cowboy
not,
can bang.
Cowboy's not necessarily trying to go to the rim all the time. But I think the Cowboys score 6 or more in this game, Bone, and I think he grabs 5 or more rebounds.
I've been against Swanton Bomb for a while, but I'm going to go over here. I'll say 6 points.
Six points. You guys are simpatico hacks.
We're wishing it into existence for you, Cowboy.
Let's get to a Big Ten game tonight. Purdue taking on UCLA. Purdue covers the 5.5-point spread. Ben.
Bounce back in a strong way. You'll hear more at 4 with my best bets. But Purdue had a players only meeting. They're pretty fired up. They've played bad lately. UCLA and Mick Cronin will be complaining about the road schedule and everything after the game.
I'm gonna
say they cover.
UCLA has struggled when they've had to do these legitimate road trips. Their scoring pace goes way down. I like the under in this game more than I like any side. But I think Purdue can win this by multiple possessions. So I think Purdue can win by, what is it now? 5.5?
I think they win
by 6 or more.
By 6. Okay. NBA, big game. Celtics taking on the Cavs. Celtics cover the 2.5-point spread against the Cavs. Jason. Boston's at home.
I know. Yeah. I kind of like. The only thing I've done here is I kind of like plus money on the Cavs to win the first quarter. Cavs money line first quarter. I think Boston's got it going now. They're better on the road than home, especially when it comes to covering. But I like Boston money line, and they got to win by 3. So I'm going to say Boston wins by 2.
That is a fallback, Ben.
Got the Cavs plus 2.5. I think Jason just said it. Boston has not been as good at home as they've been on the road. Mazzulla seemed pretty fired up with them. He's benched some guys here and there. The Cavs are playing awesome. the DeAndre Hunter move push them even more forward? So I like the Cavs to cover here.
Let's go a couple player props in that game. Donovan Mitchell over 26.5 points. Ben.
Bounce back. Donovan Mitchell loves these types of matchups. And the thing with him, he'll either get 30-plus tonight or he'll score 8. I'm going to say he goes for that 30-plus.
Jason?
I think he can drop 30.
30. Okay. And lastly, Jason Tatum, over 25.5.
I think Tatum and Donovan Mitchell are going at it here a little bit, scoring-wise. I mean, Tatum's playing amazing basketball the last 3 weeks and really shooting the lights out of things. So, yeah, I think – and if he's got his stroke early, it's usually a good day. I think Tatum goes for 30.
Ben?
I think that's an over game.
I'm going to fall back. Tatum
– play the game?
Yeah, I think Tatum – he's up and down, but he will do a lot of other things. But scoring-wise, I think he finishes, I'll say, with 19.
Coming up at the top of the hour, Jimmy Patsos is going to be joining us. What did Jimmy think of that end-of-game sequence, Jacoby Gillespie? Did he pull too early? Jimmy's going to tell us at 3. But coming up next, we're going to hit the hot corner. We'll give you an in-game update for the Orioles. And also, Grayson Rodriguez had his Grapefruit League debut, and he tweaked his delivery. We'll tell you what he did.
Somebody hit a jack in this game, too. That might be a tease. Oh.
Get it. The Twins lead the Orioles 6-3. Let's skew positive here, Jason.
That's what we do, Bo.
That is what we do. Jackson Holliday, 2-for-3, including a mammoth home run.
Jackson hit a jack, son.
And also, in his first at-bat, where he's batting leadoff today, one pitch, single to right field, stole second base, and then tried to steal third. But he got thrown out.
I'm here for it.
So I'm here for it,
too. Spring training's for.
Exactly. And how many times have we brought up this team needs to run more?
Absolutely, positively. Now, look, do I want him going crazy in fake games? No, but here and there, just to get his legs under him and to get him used to it and just to have him in the mindset of timing up pitchers and getting a book on pitchers, absolutely. It was mind-boggling. He didn't get on base a ton, but when he did... especially as the offense was cratering in the second half of the season, why he wasn't trying to take second automatically, especially when they were against some less than catchers. This is the time for that experimentation. This is the time to keep him at second base and to bat him leadoff, get him as many plate appearances as possible during the 5 or 6 innings that he'll play. Soon enough, that'll probably expand to some full games. This is exactly what he should be doing. I said he should be in a lot of these B games, the traveling and all that. Yes, he needs to do it. He should do it. He is their second baseman. We talk about people being handed things or not handed things. Like that's pretty much set up. So get him as much of a runway in these fake games as possible.
Colton Cowser went 1-for-3. Heston Kerstad has gone 1-for-3. Pitching side, Zach Eflin, making his Grapefruit League debut today, went 2 innings, 1 earned run, 4 hits. Albert Suarez, just a second appearance, but he got hammered, 2 2/3, 6 hits, 5 earned, 2 walks for Suarez.
Yeah,
it's spring training.
Yeah. He's a guy who I think they should be looking to get 6 to 9 outs out of him, 2 to 3 times a week. I think that's the role for him. I think his stuff will play up in that sort of role. I think the way he sort of prepares himself and paces himself through a long season would improve. I think the less yo-yoing they do with him, the better. I'm sure he's got things he's working on. I really don't care what his box score looks like right now.
No, I'm with you. But looking at the box score yesterday, Orioles beat the Blue Jays 11-8. Grayson Rodriguez made his spring debut, went 1 2/3, scoreless, 2 strikeouts, didn't even allow a base runner. And Matt Wyrick, friend of the show, covers the O's for the Baltimore Sun, tweeted out a blurb of one of his latest pieces for the paper, saying, in addition to his new pitch, Rodriguez is also getting used to a new delivery this spring. After finishing last season on the IL with a lat strain, an injury he suffered twice in the past 3 years, the right-hander has modified his mechanics to put less stress on the muscles by starting his throwing motion from a higher position. Here is a quote from Grayson because we do not get the audio. "I want to take a lot of the load out of my lat," Rodriguez said. "Used to, I kind of brought the ball down a little bit further. Right now, I'm working on keeping the arm up and utilizing the scapular muscle more to take that pressure off the lat."
I love it. I mean, I think the moment we heard, I mean, I remember watching the game on the MLB app when I'm like, why is this kid not in the majors already? And he suffered that injury in Norfolk, and it kind of looked like nothing at first, and they kind of acted like it was nothing at first, and then it basically torpedoed the rest of that season and kept him from reaching the majors that year. And so when there was a reoccurrence of anything that looked remotely like it last year, it scared the bejesus out of me, and it had me thinking this will be longer than... Remember, immediately, instantly, they were kind of like, it just should be, you know, the minimum timeout, and it wasn't. So the fact that they're being holistic about this and looking at... some things they can do within his mechanics to try to alleviate the strain on that muscle group and to maybe not have this become a chronic thing, I think is obviously really smart. And the fact that the early returns are positive are great. Now, I also know that pitching is a fatigue exercise, and no matter what adjustment you make and maybe where you're holding the ball, as you tire through outings and as you tire through a season, I think things slip. You maybe are feeling something else somewhere else, so you alter things to help yourself alleviate that ouchie, which then makes you susceptible to this ouchie. So, but the fact that they may have found some corrective measures to at least mitigate the prevalence of this in the future could be huge.
It's got to be priority number one for Grayson Rodriguez, and the team for Grayson Rodriguez is he's got to hit the post this year, because it wasn't just the lat last year. Remember, he had the IL stint in April because of the shoulder fatigue. He's got to stay healthy this year to take the next step.
They've built this thing in a way that, as much as they want to talk about their depth and all that, I'm not buying Bradish doing anything. You're not hearing any sort of positive updates about Chase McDermott. So that's already looking like that could be compromised. I don't think you want to yo-yo Suarez again. They're going to need a six-man rotation at some point in time because of Sagano and what he's used to. I know the schedule's easy early. But you look at all those factors, and Charlie Morton being 41, they need to have a Grayson Rodriguez make 30-some starts. You take that out of the mix as well, and I think the margins start to get a little too slim.
At 3:30, we're going to get back into the Ravens. We're going to give you a six-pack, six things the Ravens need to do differently. But coming up next, we're always fired up when Jimmy Patsos is in studio, and he will be joining us. What did Jimmy think of the game-ending sequence to the Terps game? Jacoby Gillespie, did he take that shot too early? We'll also break down that game, take a look at Penn State as well. Jimmy Patsos joins us in studio next on The Fan.